Turn your Bibles to John chapter 11 this morning. Gospel of John chapter 11. I'm going to start out by asking you a question this morning. Have you ever prayed for something to happen and it seemed like God didn't answer? Does it ever seem like God is silent to your prayers? No, I've experienced that a few times. Several times in my life when I had a great need or some kind of difficulty, and I needed immediate help, or so I thought. And so I prayed and took the problem to God, and it seemed like God didn't hear my prayer. It seemed like God didn't answer. And, you know, sometimes as we go through our lives, it seems like God does not hear our prayers. It seems like God is silent. Now, sometimes God waits to answer our prayers because he's trying to accomplish something greater in our life. We don't always know the reason why God doesn't answer our prayers right away. But we must remember that God is not ignoring us. God does not ignore his children. Sometimes from our perspective, it seems like God is silent to our prayers. And when we're in one of those situations, when it seems like God is not hearing our prayers, we need to know how to respond. We find here in John chapter 11 a event in the life of Christ where this happens. Someone has a request to Jesus Christ, and it seemed like God was silent. And that's what happens to Mary and Martha in this story. They're facing a great difficulty. Their brother Lazarus was sick. He was dying. And they felt like they needed God to do something right away. But God seemed like he was silent. His response was to wait. And he waited. We'll see this as we go through the chapter. He waited so that he could do something greater in their lives. Let's look here at John chapter 11, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." It was that same Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he stayed 2 days still in the same place where he was. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can open your word this morning. And Lord, as we go through our life, sometimes we face circumstances and situations when it seems like you are not hearing our prayers. Help us to learn from the example of Mary and Martha. Help us to learn how to respond, and help us to trust you in everything. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we see here in this chapter is the request. The request. Mary and Martha and Lazarus found themselves in a difficult situation. Lazarus was sick. He was dying. And he didn't simply have a case of the sniffles. If he had that, they would not have sent a request to Jesus to come. But Mary and Martha knew they were in a difficult situation. And they did exactly what they should have done in that situation. They took their request to God. They asked Jesus Christ for help. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be careful, be worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." God wants us to take our request to him. God wants us to approach him with our problems because he can help us. And Mary and Martha did exactly that. They took their request to Jesus Christ. They sent him a message and they asked him for help in their situation. Now, when we face a difficult situation, instead of worrying about it and being stressed out, the first thing we should do is pray. But how often is it that prayer is the last thing we do? We need to take our request to the Lord in prayer. When a loved one is sick, when there's some kind of problem or some kind of financial need or difficulty, we should first go to God in prayer and ask for his help. And the natural thing is to worry. The natural thing is to go to everyone else for their advice first. But we need to take it to God first. We see that their situation was a serious situation. Lazarus had a life-threatening sickness. He was on his deathbed. He was dying. And that's a serious situation. Now, most of the time, the needs and the difficulties that we have are not life-threatening. Sometimes they can be. But God still cares about our needs, big needs and small needs. Many times, we're not in a life-or-death situation like Lazarus was. But we still need to bring our requests to God in prayer. God cares about each one of us. The Bible says God cares about the sparrow that's fallen out of his nest. God cares for each one of his children. You know, even seemingly small needs are serious to the person who has a need. One time when I was in Bible college, I was struggling financially, and I had just put all the money I had towards my school bill, and my gas tank on my car was empty, and I needed to get to church. And I needed $20 to put a little bit of gas in the car so I could make it there and back. And that was a serious need to me as a broke college student. Some of you faced that yourself. That was a serious need to me at the time. Now it seems small now, $20 for gas, but it was serious at the time. And God took care of that need. The situation that Lazarus was in was far more serious than that. It was a life-threatening situation. He was dying. And Mary and Martha were seeking help. They were in this difficult situation, so they were seeking help. God's desire is that we call on Him in the midst of our difficulties. Mary and Martha sent a message to Christ asking for His help. Look at verse number 3 again. It says, "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." They knew that Jesus Christ was the only one who could help them in this difficulty and heal Lazarus. You know, sometimes we don't always know the reason why we face difficult things, but sometimes God puts us in a difficult situation so that we simply call out to Him in prayer. Sometimes He wants to hear us talking to Him. Sometimes He wants us to pray to Him. God said in Psalms 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." God's desire is that we take our problems to Him. God's desire is that we approach the throne of grace with our needs. The Bible says in James chapter 5, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." God wants us to pray. God wants us to take our problems to Him and bring our requests before Him. God wants to do great things in our lives, but sometimes God will not do things in our life until we pray. The Bible says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." And sometimes God will not do things or bless us in certain ways until we pray and take our requests to God. Now, Mary and Martha did everything that they should have done in this situation. They took their request to God. Number two, we see the reply. The reply. Now, Jesus' reply was a reply of silence. It was a reply of waiting. Look at verse number 4. "When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Jesus had a greater purpose in mind than simply healing Lazarus. Look at verse 5. "Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and he heard that he was sick. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Now, most people, if they heard a loved one was sick and perhaps dying, most people would not stay where they are, but they would, if they could, go to see them. But Jesus didn't. Jesus did not immediately go to see Lazarus, and it doesn't say that he sent a message back to them either. He simply waited for 2 days where he was. Now, God's timing is not always the same as our timing. God's ways are not the same as our ways. And we read verse 4 already, but that was the reason for the delay, for the glory of God. Sometimes, when we take our requests to God, God answers in one of three ways. Sometimes God will answer yes, sometimes God will answer no, and sometimes God will answer wait. And sometimes It seems like God doesn't answer. And that's usually the wait answer. Now, waiting is hard. Waiting is the hardest part. And our culture plays a lot into that. We have fast food, get it right away. We have Amazon Prime. Let's get it shipped to our door right away. We don't even have to go to Walmart. And, our microwaves, Keurigs, you get a cup of coffee right away. Right? That our culture has prompted that instant mentality. Let's hurry up and get it. So waiting is hard. Waiting is hard. Sometimes God wants us to wait, so we learn patience. Sometimes God wants us to learn to depend upon Him more and trust Him more. And so sometimes He gives us the wait answer to our prayer. Now, God always answers our prayer in one way or the other, but many times He doesn't answer our prayer when we think it should be answered, or even in the way that we think it should be answered. Sometimes God delays to answer, and we must simply wait on the Lord. It's not easy to wait on the Lord sometimes. When the difficulty is great, when the need is immediate, and you pray and it seems like nothing happens, that's difficult sometimes to wait on the Lord and keep trusting Him when God is silent to our prayers. We don't know why God delays sometimes, but God always has a greater purpose in mind. The verse that many people take comfort in is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And many times when God makes us wait, He's working behind the scenes and we cannot see it, but He's working to do something great. We have no way of knowing what is going on, perhaps, but God sees the big picture. He knows exactly what He's doing, and we must simply be patient and wait. Now that's the reply that Jesus gave to this request. Mary and Martha said, "Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Come and help us." But Jesus waited. Let's read here in verse number 7. It says, "Then after that, He saith to His disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said He, and after that He saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said His disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. If he's resting, that'll help him get better quickly. And in verse 14, Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent, here's the reason, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us go also, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now in verse 15, Jesus said that part of his purpose for waiting was so that the disciples would trust him more. He said, I'm glad that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. This reply was a reply of waiting, but it was also a reply of wisdom. Jesus already knew that Lazarus was dead. In verse 14, he said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He knew that Lazarus would die before he came to where they were. Jesus, in his wisdom, knew exactly what he was doing, even though it didn't make sense to the disciples, even though it didn't make sense to Mary and to Martha. He knew exactly what he was doing. It brought more glory to God for Lazarus to die and then be resurrected than if Jesus had simply gone and healed him from his sickness. If Jesus had simply healed Lazarus from his sickness, then the people there would not have seen Jesus do this great miracle of raising him from the dead. You know, God's plans are always right. God's plans are always the best. Even though we may not understand what is going on sometimes, and it might not make sense to us humanly speaking, God's way is best, and we need to trust Him. God sees the big picture. God wants us to learn to trust Him more. God does not always operate on our time schedule. God moves when the time is right, when He knows the time is right, and the time wasn't right yet. God had a greater purpose in mind, and He wanted to teach His disciples and Mary and Martha and the other people there a lesson in faith. Was that difficult? Yes, it was. I'm going to turn this lapel mic off. That's better. Was this hard? Yes, it was hard. Lazarus died. Mary and Martha lost their brother. The disciples lost a friend. Yes, it was hard. Yes, it was difficult. But Jesus wanted to strengthen their faith. When we find ourselves confronted by disease or disappointment or delay or even death, as in this case, our only recourse is to find encouragement in the Word of God. The only thing we can do is take our problems to God and trust Him. The only thing we can do is take our request to God and wait and see what He does. We must live by faith and not by sight. We must trust God and remember that He is in control, even when things don't make sense to us. Mary and Martha had a request for Christ to help them. And the reply that Jesus gave was, wait. Number three, let's look at the reaction. What was their reaction to this reply? First of all, their reaction was one of distress. Look at verse number 18. It says, now Bethany, and this is where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She was in distress. Her brother had died. Their request, it seemed, had been unanswered. They were discouraged. They were defeated. They were distressed. Martha said to Jesus, if you had just been here, my brother, he'd still be alive. You could have healed him. He would still be here. She was blaming him, perhaps, for the problem that she had. And you know, that's a natural reaction. When we're in distress, when we're going through difficult circumstances, it's easy, it's natural to find somebody to blame them for our problems. Many times people lash out at others when they are going through difficulties. Like the story that Pastor told of the dog that was under his car a couple weeks ago. It was snapping at him. He was trying to help it. But we do the same. When we're in difficulty, we do the same. Many people respond to problems by even questioning God. God, why is this happening to me? God, why can't you answer my prayer? Martha was distressed. But she also had a reaction of devotion. Verse number 21. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Martha's initial thought was, Lord, if you had just been here, he wouldn't have died. But then she said that she trusted him. Here we see her faith. She said, I know that whatever you ask of God, God is going to do that for you. She affirmed her belief in the power of God. She trusted that Jesus knew what he was doing in a difficult circumstance. We see her hope in verse 23. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She showed her hope in the resurrection of believers. She said, I know I'm going to see my brother again someday. And then Jesus gave her some further encouragement in verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now Jesus reminded her who he was. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you believe in me, you'll have eternal life. He reminded her about the power he had over death. He reminded her about the eternal life that only comes by faith in Christ alone. And then Jesus said, Martha, do you believe these things? And in verse 27, she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She quickly responded in faith. She said, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you're the Son of God. Even though she was struggling with the difficult circumstances and the difficulties that she was facing, Martha still trusted in God's promises. Even though things did not go the way that she expected or wanted, she still trusted that Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was doing. Now, what happens when we get to that point in our life? Many times, we give up in despair when the situation is so bad and it seems like God is not doing anything to help us. Sometimes we give up. It's easy to do that. Sometimes people get upset with God when they don't do, when he doesn't do what they think should be done. And then they quit on God. When that happens, people always miss the thing that God is trying to teach them. People always miss the blessing and the great miracle that God wants to do. Now, if Martha had simply given up in despair and stopped trusting Jesus, he probably would not have done the great miracle that he did when he raised Lazarus from the dead. But because she trusted God, God was able to do great things in her life. When the difficulties are the greatest, when the storm is the worst, it's easy to despair. It's easy to give up. It's easy to blame others. But we must remember that God will never fail. Even when it seems like he's silent, he's not going to fail us. He always takes care of his children. It might be hard. It might be difficult. But we must simply wait on God and trust him because he knows what he is doing. We must keep trusting until the answer comes. Look at verse number 28. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews, which were with her in the house, comforted her when they saw Mary. That she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." She said the exact same thing as her sister Martha had said a short time earlier. Now their reaction was a reaction of distress, but Martha also had a reaction of devotion to God. She said, "I still trust you. I know you're the Son of God. I know that you have the power of God." That was their reaction. Number four, we see the great thing that God wanted to do in their lives. We see the resurrection. The resurrection. Now this was totally unexpected. Look at verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Lazarus was dead. He was buried. He'd been dead for 4 days. The people expected Jesus to come and mourn for him and sorrow for him like everyone else was doing. They expected him to come and comfort Mary and Martha, perhaps. They thought it was going to be just another regular funeral. But that's not why Christ came. That's not his purpose and what he was doing. No one was expecting anything other than regular mourning for someone who had died. Lazarus was dead. It was final. No one expected anything else. Now Jesus waited until Lazarus was dead for 4 days before he came. Jesus didn't want to simply heal Lazarus from his sickness, but he wanted to do a great miracle and show people who he was. Now, there was a lot of other people here. Back in the last couple of verses we read, it says that there was a number of Jews gathered together with Mary and Martha, comforting them and mourning with them. And these are probably other friends and other family who gathered together as people do when a loved one passes away. These people followed Mary out from the town to the gravesite. They're all assembled here. They're all weeping. They're all mourning for the loss of their friend Lazarus. In verse 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. It says, "Jesus wept." It's the shortest verse in the Bible, but it says so much. Jesus wept. Now here we get a glimpse of the compassion and the love that God has for individual people. The Creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, wept over the death of one person. We see his compassion. We see His love. The Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus is our high priest and that He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Because Christ came, He is sympathetic to our problems. He is our high priest. He has a caring heart that reaches out to the hurting. He knows about our difficulties. He understands our pain. He knows what it's like to walk in our shoes and live on this earth. He experienced many of the same things that we experience. He identified with us without being infected by our sin. Because Jesus knows what we go through and how we face difficulties, because He knows those things, He can help us. That's why He is our high priest. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus experienced pain and loss in the same way that we do, so that He could help us in our struggles. The Bible says, Jesus wept. Look at verse 36. The Jews were watching, and then said the Jews, "Behold, how He loved Him." They saw Jesus' love. They saw His great love. "Behold how they loved Him," verse 37. Some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto Him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Now Mary and Martha and all the people and Jesus, the other disciples, they came to the place where Lazarus was buried. Jesus said, "Take away the stone, uncover the grave." That's a surprising thing to say at a funeral. They didn't understand. Martha said, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days." And maybe they thought he wanted to look at Lazarus one last time, I don't know. But they had no idea what was about to happen. The resurrection was unexpected. It was unprecedented. This had never happened before. No one had ever been raised from the dead. No one experienced a miracle. They thought that Christ had come to mourn for Lazarus. When Jesus told them to remove the stone, they were shocked. Look at verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Now Jesus finally reveals his reason for waiting. He wanted the disciples and Mary and Martha and all the crowd that was gathered there today, he wanted them to believe that he was the Son of God. He wanted them to see the glory of God and the power of God displayed. And look at verse number 43. It says, "When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.' Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." Many of the Jews believed on Christ when they saw the miracle that he did, when he raised Lazarus from the dead. That was God's purpose in making them wait. Sometimes God will wait until the situation is so difficult that the only explanation is that God fixed the problem. This was a difficult situation. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. No one could raise him from the dead. He waited until it was so difficult that the only explanation was the power of God. Now, God will do the same thing in our lives sometimes, and perhaps some of you could give testimony to that. But only God could have done what Jesus did that day. Only God could raise someone from the dead. And Jesus explained his purpose in verse 42. He said, "I said this that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Jesus wanted people to believe that he was God and have power over death. He wanted to show the glory of God, and he wanted everyone there to see the testimony. What an amazing miracle happened that day. Mary and Martha were in a difficult situation. They had a request. Their brother was dying. They needed help. So they sent a message to Christ. His reply was, "Wait. He delayed in helping them in their situation. And their response was first one of distress. Lord, he wouldn't have died if you had been here. But then one of devotion. Yes, Lord, we believe. And then Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the grave and showed his power to many people. What was the result of all this? Many people saw the glory of God. In verse 45, it says, many of the Jews which came to Mary and saw the things which Jesus did, believed on him. That was the purpose of God. If Jesus had simply gone and healed Lazarus from his sickness, those people would not have seen the great miracle that he did. Those people would not have seen the power of God. Those people would not have believed on Jesus Christ. Sometimes, God makes us wait. Sometimes, we have to suffer through a difficult situation. Sometimes it seems like God is silent to our cries. And we might not understand why, but we must simply be faithful and keep trusting God. Keep trusting that God knows what He's doing. God always has a greater purpose in mind. We might not see it now. We might not understand it. But when God finally answers that prayer, when God finally works out the situation in some way, He is glorified. And everyone else can say, only God could have done that. Only God could have done that. God is glorified when people see that in our lives. We must keep trusting God. We must stay faithful. We must rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. There's a song, and it's not in our hymnal, but it addresses this. It goes like this. When God is silent and we don't know the way before us that we ought to go, when we've attempted to do His will and yet His silence continues still, then it's time to trust. It's time to remember that the Lord is faithful to His own. If we hope, we shall yet be praising once again. For His silence never means that we're alone. It says, when God is silent and all seems lost, as over the waves our boat is tempest tossed, when answers fail us and doubts arise, but God seems distant, hid from our eyes, then it's time to trust. Yes, it's time to remember that the Lord is faithful to His own. If we hope, we shall yet be praising once again. For His silence never means that we're alone. Sometimes God is silent to our prayers. Sometimes we go through those difficulties, but God's working behind the scenes. We might suffer disease or delay or death or disappointment. We don't know. Difficulties in life do not mean that God has forsaken us. Just because we don't see an answer to our prayer right away, it does not mean that God has forgotten about us. It means it's time to put our faith into action. It means it's time to walk by faith. It means that it's time to continue trusting God, even when we don't understand it. It means that we need to be patient and trust God. God's going to do something special in our lives when we trust Him. But sometimes the only way He can do those things is when we continue to trust Him when it doesn't make sense. God wants to do great things in our lives. God wants to show His glory to people around us. But it doesn't happen if we give up before God gives an answer. We must continue trusting, no matter how long it takes. Continue trusting God. Wait patiently on the Lord and trust in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Your love for us. And Lord, we know that sometimes we go through difficult situations and circumstances that we don't understand. And Lord, sometimes it seems as if You're silent to our prayers. And Lord, we don't always understand why those things happen. But Lord, we must remember that if we trust in You, You can do great things. You can do a miracle in our life in some way. And You can get the glory because of our faith. Lord, I pray for each one that's here this morning. Lord, I don't know what difficulty each person may be going through this morning. But You do. And You know what their needs are. And You know how to help them. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would learn to trust You more. That we would learn to be patient and rest in You because You know what You're doing. Lord, we're so thankful for Your love for us. And I pray that You'd help us to learn to trust You. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymnal and turn to number 679.